Hi, this is Ruth McCauley with news from the Decatur area for Thursday, March 10th. We begin with a smallish item on the front page of the Decatur Herald and Review, but it's from Decatur, and boy, it's good news. Sonic Edition, part of expanding Decatur restaurant scene. And this is an article written by Chris Lisvardi, who's an H&R staff writer. Restaurant owners in Decatur are increasingly seeing opportunities to expand in Decatur while trying to meet the desires of area diners. Gary Haynes, who already owns 15 Decatur area Subway restaurants, they're that many, wow, unveiled plans Wednesday to bring a Sonic drive-in to Decatur's east side. He said the $1.6 million project is coming in response to the business's community members having indicated they would like to see in Decatur. This is what Decatur wants, Haynes said during a Greater Decatur Chamber of Commerce groundbreaking ceremony held where the Sonic will be built at 4851 East Prosperity Place in front of the Eastside Walmart. The community is fully behind it. Decatur really wants a Sonic and Decatur really wants a Sonic has been a consistent theme. Sorry, that's an awkward sentence. Haynes said Sonic is known for its quality products, along with quick service, and offers feel-good foods with more than $1.3 million drink combinations, ice cream, tater tots, hot dogs, burgers, and chicken. I can already taste the onion rings, Decatur Mayor Julie Moore Wolf said. Haynes is hoping to have construction of the 2,300-square-foot building completed by late spring or early summer. In addition to two drive-through lanes, he said this location will offer indoor seating, unlike many in the Sonic franchise. Haynes said indoor seating in this part of the country is necessary to maintain business levels throughout the entire year. Customers will be able to pull up in the traditional way for a Sonic and order while remaining in their cars, too, he said. Chamber President Miranda Rothrock said the creation of 20 full-time jobs and 40 part-time positions helps to make Sonic a welcome addition to Decatur. Sonic was one of the most requested restaurants in 2014 during a City of Decatur retail feedback tour, said Patrick Hoban, the city's economic development officer. The first stop on the feedback tour was to discuss possibilities for the site where Sonic is going, Hoban said. He said another business on the list of most requested restaurants that has come to Decatur is Dunkin' Donuts at 3016 North Water Street in the Brentwood Village Shopping Center. The projects show developers are listening to what community members are asking for, Hoban said. Other developers are interested in seeing what Decatur has to offer, he said. They want to hear more success stories, he went on. We're starting to see that. More projects are in the pipeline. Among the other restaurant owners in Decatur with an eye on expansion is Paco Greenwell of Paco's Soul Bistro in downtown Decatur. Greenwell is working on renovating the building at 2805 North Main Street that was most recently Mancino's Pizza and turn it into a restaurant called Salsa American Burrito Company. The idea will be for customers to be able to choose what they want in a burrito, whether it's traditional Mexican ingredients or ones with an American flavor, such as tater tots or scrambled eggs, Greenwell said. It's part of a fast service concept Greenwell has long been interested in, but hasn't moved ahead on. It's something that is a unique concept for Decatur, Greenwell said. As time went on, I've played around with the idea. He hopes to have the new restaurant ready in June, adding to the growing mix of dining choices in Decatur. Hoban said restaurant owners are willing to add new locations as customers support their businesses. If all goes as anticipated, Haynes is interested in adding a second Sonic location on Decatur's north side after the East End store is up and operating. The developments show what is happening in Decatur and numerous sectors of the economy, said Ryan McCready, Economic Development Corporation of Decatur and Macon County president. Sonic is using enterprise zone incentives to aid in the project, which McCready said shows the benefits aren't limited to any particular type of business. It benefits a lot of local businesses, McCready said. Retailers want to be in a growing economy. With the work the city is doing with the EDC, we can make things happen here. He said retail development is starting to follow other types of business development in the area, such as the expansion announced last month for pharmaceutical maker Acorn Incorporated on Wickles Road. We're turning inside the Decatur Herald and Review to pick up an article on the local page. Procurement card letter stirs superintendent row. And this is written by Valerie Wells, an H&R staff writer. A letter to Decatur School Superintendent Lisa Taylor, signed by School Board President Sherry Perkins, is making the rounds on Facebook and stirring up comments. The letter, dated January 4th, refers to Taylor's use of a procurement card, credit cards owned by the district and used by administration for petty cash purchases. Taylor said the cards were typically used for things like supplies for summer school, online purchases, and technology, because the district received a rebate for those purchases, but the school board removed the cards and they are no longer in use. In the letter, Perkins wrote that purchases in September 2014 and April and May 2015, totaling $177.34, were inappropriate, and that school officials had met with Taylor on November 11th to direct her to reimburse the district that amount. Perkins cites the district's auditor's questions as the reason the transactions were deemed inappropriate, and wrote that the auditors had found other irregularities but, quote, lacked sufficient and specific information regarding the propriety of those charges to require reimbursement, end quote. In the district's annual audit report available on the district website, www.dps61.org, the firm of BKD CPAs and advisors refers to the district's accounting methods, which are in compliance with the Illinois State Board of Education, but are not the, quote, generally accepted, end quote, methods in the United States. So, well, that's curious. Further in the report, auditors refer to purchases totaling $2,769 on the procurement cards that were charged to federal Title I and Title II funds without proper documentation and prior approval, and concluded that no matters are reportable, with a recommendation that the board policy on the cards be enforced. Taylor said she has reimbursed the district for the $177.34 and assumed that was the end of the matter until this week, when the letter surfaced on Facebook, along with a newsletter published by The Torch, The African American Voice. Both were posted by Michael Smith, a member of the Decatur Township Board, but have been discussed and reposted by others. I respect the opinion of the auditors and chose to immediately reimburse the district for noted errors so we could move forward and focus on educating the students of the Decatur community, Taylor said. I do take the financial responsibilities of my position very seriously. Board members were asked for comment, but none responded. Our next article was written by Ryan Voiles, an H&R staff writer. Fees and server upgrades on county's agenda. Higher fees may be in order to cover some costs for Macon County Court security. A plan that would raise the fees for criminal, civil, traffic, and petty traffic cases is set to be heard by the county board during its meeting tonight. The increase would be to $25 for all those types of cases being filed. The fee would generate an additional $99,950 per year, which would offset the operational expenses for the court security program. The plan was unanimously approved by the county's finance committee during its February 29th meeting. A fee increase was part of a fee study conducted by Bloomington-based Bellwether LLC on various fees collected by the county's departments. Its initial study recommended the fee move up to $50, but County Finance Chairman Jay Dunn said it was decided to increase it to $25 for a year on an evaluation basis. The county currently takes in about $100,000 with the fees, which have not changed since 1996. The increase would go a small way toward covering the annual cost of providing security at the courthouse, with roughly $80,000 budgeted. I'm sorry, that was $800,000 budgeted toward court security this fiscal year. An increase would also bring the fee cost in line with similar-sized counties in Illinois. The board is also expected to take up a plan that would update the accounting system for the auditor's office. The resolution would provide $95,000 to cover the cost of conversion and a new server in the department. The current server is from 2008, and Auditor Carol Reed said an upgrade is needed now. If approved, the upgrade would happen in summer or early fall. Chris Luzvardi, an H&R staff writer, wrote our next article, Richland Proceeding with Presidential Search. Richland Community College completed some of the first steps Wednesday in shaping its presidential search process. Pat Keir, a consultant who is director of the Presidential Search Committee, led two open forums to create a presidential profile that will guide the search process. Keir said, I guess that's Keir, K-E-I-R, said each community college is different in what is expected and needed from its top leader. The profile will guide candidates of what is expected as they consider applying for the job, Keir said. I've been impressed by what's going on here, Keir said. Demonstration of what they've done in the past is really important for the candidates. Those attending the forums discuss what they want to see in a president, such as the ability to communicate effectively and be involved on and off campus while addressing enrollment issues. Keir said all community colleges in the state are dealing with financial issues stemming from the lack of a state budget. Board Chairman Bruce Campbell said the goal will be to find candidates who best match the profile that is being created. The profile will be released after Keir meets with the search committee and then presents it to the Board of Trustees for approval. The 17-member search committee is scheduled to meet for the first time today, said Tom Ritter, chairman of the committee. Ritter, who is the vice chairman of the Richland Board, is looking forward to moving ahead with the search process with the guidance of the Association of Community College Trustees. Hopefully it will help us make the right decision for Richland Community College, Ritter said. Ritter said the community is a mix of community members and Richland faculty and staff. He expects to release names of who is on the committee today. Updates will be posted on Richland's website through the search process. The search committee's goal will be to identify four or five finalists who will be brought to campus and interview for the job, Keir said. The board will then decide who to appoint as the next president, replacing Gail Saunders, who retired last week after 15 years at Richland. Former President Chuck Novak is serving in an interim role until the new leader is in place. Until the finalists are named, Kier said some of the search process will remain confidential, as 8 to 10 semifinalists will receive video interviews. The finalists shouldn't be anyone that the search committee wouldn't feel comfortable being president, she said. Kier said the process is proceeding so that interviews can start in 6 to 7 weeks. If all goes well, she said the board could decide on a new president as soon as June. Further into the local and national news section of the Decatur Herald and Review, we have an article here from Tuscola, written by Edith Brady Lunny, the Lee News Service writer. Beeman seeks jury in lawsuit against Normal police. A McLean County jury should weigh Alan Beeman's claims that three Normal police investigators botched the investigation that led to his 1994 wrongful conviction on murder charges, a lawyer for the Rockford Man argued on Tuesday. Alan Beeman spent 13 years in prison before the Illinois Supreme Court vacated his conviction in the death of his former girlfriend, Jennifer Lockmiller. The victim, a 22-year-old Illinois State University student from Decatur, was found strangled and stabbed on August 28, 1993, in her apartment in Normal. Beeman, now 43, was in a Douglas County courtroom Tuesday for arguments in his lawsuit filed in McLean County in 2014. He is seeking more than $50,000 in damages from the town of Normal and retired police officers Tim Friesmeyer, Dave Warner, and Frank Zayas. Sixth Judicial Circuit Judge Richard Broach, Jr. was named to handle the lawsuit after Beeman asked for a judge outside the 11th Judicial Circuit, which includes McLean County. Retired McLean County judges James Soak and Charles Renard were prosecutors during the Lockmiller investigation. In his arguments against Normal's motion to end the lawsuit, lawyer Locke Bowman said a panel of McLean County jurors should judge the officer's conduct. "This matter needs to end where it began, with the citizens of McLean County. Let them decide," Bowman told the judge. The complaint accuses the former officers of ignoring other potential suspects and evidence that supported Beeman's alibi that he was at home in Rockford when Lockmiller was killed. In the 1994 trial, the state held that Beeman sped to Normal from Rockford and killed Lockmiller within a 3.5-hour window between a phone call he made from his home and his mother's return home when she found his car in the driveway. Bowman offered a lengthy list of alleged misconduct by Friesmeyer, lead investigator of the incident, including improper threats to Beeman that the state would pursue the death penalty against the suspect. "The wheels of justice have turned in such a way to do damage to an innocent human being," Bowman concluded of the murder case. Defense lawyer Thomas DeCiani argued that the police had ample reason to consider Beeman a suspect, including his rocky relationship with Lockmiller and physical evidence that placed Beeman in the victim's apartment. Just depositions given by Sook and Renard in the lawsuit removed the former officers from the decision to charge Beeman, said DeCiani. Both said in their deposition that it was their decision to file murder charges, said the lawyer for Normal. The judge took the motion under advisement and is expected to issue a ruling in about 2 weeks. Beeman returned to his hometown of Rockford after his exoneration and lives there now with his wife and 2 children. He declined to comment after the hearing. He has received a certificate of innocence from the state confirming his exoneration, and former Governor Pat Quinn granted Beamon's clemency petition before leaving office. I'm turning now to the Decatur Tribune to pick up some of their items regarding upcoming events and meetings. To begin with, the 2016 Community Breakfast will be Thursday, March 17th at 8 a.m. at the Good Samaritan Inn, 220 North Union Street in Decatur. This free breakfast is sponsored by the Homeless Council Continuum of Care Advisory Council and will discuss the issues surrounding homelessness. The public is encouraged to attend. The event will feature remarks from Darsonia Switzer, or maybe that's Switzer, it's S-W-I-T-Z-E-R, Homeward Bound Program Director, and Mary Garrison and Millikan University students will share the 2016 Point in Time survey results. Those attending will gain insight on the current issues of homelessness and next steps for them to become involved with the continuum. Contact Darsonia Switzer at Homeward Bound at 362-7700 with any questions. RSVP for the breakfast at 428-6616 or by going online at Dove at doveincorporated.org. And that's D-O-V-E at D-O-V-E-I-N-C.org. Next, the Salvation Army Senior Program, Put On Your Easter Bonnet, will be held Friday, March 18th at 11 a.m. at 229 West Main Street in Decatur. All seniors 50 years old and over are welcome. A $3 donation will be accepted at the door. For reservations, call 428-4672 by noon next Wednesday, March 16th. Spring Break Day Camp at the DISC. When school's not in session, go to the DISC for the Decatur Park District's Spring Break Day Camp. Youths ages 5 to 14 will enjoy arts and crafts, basketball, volleyball, soccer, and special planned activities or field trips every day. The activities will take place from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. on March 21st through the 25th. A daily fee is $37, $32 with resident discount, with a 15% discount for each additional sibling. Bring a sack lunch, or lunch, and lunch will be provided on March 21st. Register at the DISC, 1295 West Wood Street, or by calling 429-34-7272 or going online at decatur-parks.org. Oh, and then they continue to list some of the field trips. On the 21st, it will be Chuck E. Cheese in Springfield, and that's the day lunch is provided. Then on the 22nd, it's a movie at the Strand. On the 23rd, it's the Orpheum Children's Science Museum in Champaign, so a road trip. On the 24th, it's George's Skate Center. And on the 25th, it's going over to Taylorville YMCA Pool. Okay, and this one's happening tomorrow, so this is important to make note of. The annual Friends of the NRA Dinner and Fundraiser will be held March 11th, with the doors opening at 5:30 in the Knights of Columbus Hall in Decatur. Tickets are available at the door or online at friendsofnra.org/ capital I, capital L. The tickets are $30 for adults, $100 or $200, and children are $15. Gary Smullyan will appear with the Millikan University Jazz Band on Tuesday, that's next Tuesday, March 15th at 7:30 p.m. in Westminster Presbyterian Church at 1360 West Main Street. Admission fee is $5, but it's free to Millikan students showing an ID. Smullyan will be conducting master classes for Millikan students earlier that day. Mr. Smullyan is the winner of the 2009, 2011, 2014, and 2015 Downbeat Critics Poll for Baritone Saxophonist of the Year. Wow! He is the winner of the 2009, 2010, 2015 Jazz Journalist Award for Baritone Saxophonist of the Year and the winner of the 2011 Jazz Times Critics and Readers Polls for Baritone Saxophonist of the Year. He is also a six-time Grammy Award winner for his work with B.B. King, Joe Lovano, Dave Holland, and the Vanguard Jazz Orchestra. Wow, he's got quite some credentials there. I think we got time before the break to pick up some local briefs back in the Herald and Review. A midday fire on Wednesday caused $40,000 damage to a house at 4 Circle Drive and $10,000 to its contents. The Decatur Fire Department reported that it was called out shortly before noon to battle a blaze that apparently started in a bedroom and spread to the attic and crawl space. No one was home at the time and no one was injured. The cause of the fire, brought under control in about 30 minutes, remains under investigation. The Macon County Emergency Management Agency will offer free NOAA weather radio programming from 3:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. today at Walgreens, 420 East First Drive. The agency will provide this service in an effort to continue severe weather preparedness for county residents. NOAA weather radios will be available for purchase at Walgreens. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be returning with the second half hour of news from the Decatur area for Thursday, March 10th. I hope you'll hang tight. And stay with us for when we return.